Episode 2. The Triangle Factory Fire Project by Christopher Peeler and Scott Allen Evans. Welcome to Hear Play Audio Theatre. My name is Simon Jones. The entire city of New York grieves as the death count from the Triangle Fire rises, and the public wants to know who is to blame for this devastating catastrophe. Who indeed? Calls for accountability and justice echo through the streets of a city in mourning until the trial begins. The Triangle Factory Fire Project, Episode 2.
"150 perish in factory
one
fire.
One man taken out alive. Plunged to bottom of elevator
death
shaft and lived there amid
at
flames for 4 hours.
Only 86 identified.
The city morgue could not hold all the dead, so the coffins were taken instead to Charity's Pier on East 26th Street, where they were left open in hopes that a loved one could make an identification.
Who seeks a girl with a ring bearing the initials J.S.? Who seeks a girl with a ring bearing the initials J.S.?
Did you say M.S.?
No, G.S.
I'm looking for my daughter, Margaret. Margaret Schwartz. This is her. This her picture. Have you seen her?
Ma'am, no. The line to see the bodies starts
no, no, no.
Over there.
She not there. She not there. She probably fell and knocked her head, or maybe she on subway heading home right now. Maybe I should go. Are you sure her name Margaret?
I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Who seeks a girl with a ring bearing the initials J.S.?
100,000 mourners and sensation seekers throng Lane of Sorrow to see bodies of fire victims on charity
Mob
stock.
Storms the morgue.
Some bodies seemed untouched by flames, but many were burned so badly that rings had melted onto fingers and necklaces had sunk into blackened necks.
Who seeks a girl whose pay envelope bears the name of Kaplan? Who
look,
seeks
look,
a girl?
This picture, this her picture, Margaret. Margaret Schwartz.
Please, ma'am.
Have you seen her?
Ma'am, I'm just trying to do my job.
Who seeks a girl whose pay envelope bears the name of Kaplan?
Physicians and nurses care for 50 or more, overcome by horrors of the scene. 25 bodies unrecognizable.
27 more identified in
10
morgue
more
search.
Identified.
Who seeks a girl whose handbag contains two sets of rosary beads
this
and a thimble?
This is my daughter, Margaret. Margaret Schwartz. Have you seen
if
her?
If she's dead, she's on the pier. Oh. If she's alive, then you better run home and meet her.
You're right. You're right. She could be waiting. I go home.
Rush to the aid of fire sufferers. Wastemakers Union goes to the rescue. Red Cross
Churches
Society joins
unite
in the work.
Prayer as relief funds are
Saturday's
started.
Saturday's awful tragedy could have been prevented and more than 150 souls saved had the Ash Building been equipped with automatic fire sprinklers. The Etsy sprinkler prevents spread of fire and effects great reduction in insurance rates. Particulars
fire
on the
relief
quest.
Fund has $7,942 in contributions.
Here
on
they are.
First day.
Get them while they last. Souvenirs of the big fire. Get a dead girl's earrings. Get a ring from the finger of a dead girl.
Who seeks a man wearing tan shoes?
First victim of Triangle Fire laid
whole
to rest.
Whole East Side turns out as 100 carriages follow body of Jenny Franco to
make
the grave.
Make changes or there will be greater disaster, says Fire Chief Croker.
5,000 fight police to enter service for fire victims. Line of mourners for
6 hours
blocks.
Of entertainment at Metropolitan for
Mayor
fire fun.
Mayor nothing. Did not visit the scene of the disaster, but sent
350,000 attend funeral for 7 unidentified fire victims. Procession of mourners brave rain to march through city draped
fire
in black.
Fire relief funds still grows. Total now exceeds $21,000.
50,000 hold vigil outside
District
Ash
Attorney's
building.
Office besieged by protesters.
Who seeks a girl in a red dress? Who seeks a girl in a red dress?
Notice. The Triangle Waste Company begged to notify their customers that as of March 28, 1911, they are in good working order. Headquarters now at 911 University Place.
New Triangle Factory shut down. Door Union was locked.
Union ready to draft new fire laws.
Governor Dix signs bill creating factory investigation committee.
Mr. Blanc met me and he said he'd do anything for me. He meant give me money. To testify in court that I'd saved myself through the Washington Place door. I said, you're not kidding me, you dirty slob. Nothing doing. I didn't go back to work anymore. I went to college.
Harrison Blank hire celebrated attorney Max
Cigarette
Stoyer.
Cigarette caused the factory fire. Croker finds stumps and package that explains the immediate
Waste
origin of the
Waste shop owners
Holocaust.
Made millions. Try to put blame on city officials.
In the 3 weeks since the tragedy, the district attorney's office has gathered sufficient evidence that when fire struck the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory on the afternoon of March 25th, a locked door on the Washington Place side of the ninth floor led directly to the death by asphyxiation of one Margaret Schwartz. We have therefore indicted Isaac Harris and Max Blank, proprietors of the factory, on the charges of manslaughter in the first and second degree.
Harris and Blank plead not guilty. Freed on $25,000 bail.
Here come the murderers! The
Triangle owners get police guard.
8 months delay, Harris and Blank on trial at last.
On December 4, 1911, the day the Triangle trial finally began, a long Indian summer came to an end. 5 inches of snow fell on New York. As always happens during the first blizzard of the season, the city seemed to pause for a moment. Streets, buildings, and automobiles were as white and pure as a wedding cake. Then, as always happens, the pause ended and the snow began to melt. The city's horse carriage drivers were on strike, so the holiday shoppers were forced to trudge through brown slush with their bags and parcels. But I saw men and women laughing as they did so, because there is no place as frivolous and thrilling as New York in the Christmas season.
Henry W. Savage presents the supreme dramatic novelty by Walter Brown. Every man's opinion of every woman. Her pilgrimage
President
in quest
Taft
of
and
love.
Family eat 40-pound
Toy
turkey.
Dogs on show at the Waldorf. Feminine lovers of many breeds exhibit pets
Tenth
with varying
week.
Success.
Lou Fields' musical success, The Never Homes. This is exquisite
Handsome socialist
fooling.
Christmas gifts. Pillow tops with beautiful socialist designs and motifs furnished on high-grade embroidery fabric and stamped in fast colors for outlining. Also a few large portraits in all colors of Karl Marx. Come and
Triangle
see these
bosses
astonishing mob. Bargains.
Victims' relatives show hatred when men appear in court.
What kind of justice can this poor girl expect when these men, who made the hours, set the pay scale, had girls followed to the bathroom if they were suspected of wasting precious seconds of company time? How can this poor girl get justice when these men are on trial before a jury composed entirely of other men? Until we have women on juries, no woman can expect a fair trial. And for woman to be granted that basic right, she must first have the right to cast a ballot for the candidate of her choice.
What about my Margaret? How does that help her?
Justice for all women does honor to all women.
She's dead. How can she vote?
How do you want your daughter to be remembered? As another girl burned up in a shop? Or as part of a mighty angelic host that helped her sisters earn the right to control their own destinies?
My daughter burned up, burned to ashes. You don't deserve to say one word in this place until you know such grief.
All women grieve. It's one of the many burdens we carry for our men. I myself have buried 2 husbands. I have wept. I have torn the hair from my head. We all do that. But when the tears have dried, what do you do?
I start crying again, and I keep crying.
To you aggrieved relatives gathered here, I can only say, pray to God. She will help you.
This is picture my daughter Margaret. Margaret Schwartz.
Gentlemen of the jury, before we begin, I would like to remind you not to be affected by any mourning or any weeping in the corridors. We are here to examine facts only. Mr. Bostwick, your opening.
Gentlemen of the jury, on March 25th of this year, a terrible fire took the lives of 146 people, all of them dead in the space of half an hour. But we will not, we cannot, present a case that will encompass the enormity of this tragedy. Instead, we will focus on one specific story, that of Margaret Schwartz. Near the north end of the first cutter's table, on the Green Street side of the eighth floor of the building, is where the fire started. When the cry of fire finally reached those on the ninth floor, they ran in every direction. Some ran to the Green Street door, some went to the roof, some got on the freight elevators, some ran to the fire escape on the north side of the building, others ran to the Washington Place elevator, which made two or three trips and escaped that way. Others ran to the Washington Place door. One of these was Margaret Schwartz, now dead. Gentlemen of the jury, that door was locked. Locked in defiance of the law. Section 80 of the New York labor law reads, "All doors leading in or to any such factory shall not be locked, bolted, or fastened during working hours." Shall not be locked. After we have shown you all that Margaret Schwartz burned to death behind that locked door on the ninth floor, we will ask you for your judgment upon the evidence according to your consciences.
Mr. Stoyer, your opening statement.
I have no opening to make. It is a case that to my mind is perfectly clear. There is not anything that I know about the manufacturing business.
You do not propose to open, Mr. Stoyer?
No, Your Honor. I am going to put witnesses right on, and I wish to get through just as quickly as possible, and I respectfully ask that we now adjourn.
I think it may be within the province of counsel to determine the extent to which he likes to open to the jury, but I think he ought to outline the theory of his defense.
It is entirely optional.
If you want me to, if you think it will help the people's case or clarifies the subject, I will be delighted to do it. Though I do not consider that my kind of talk is at a premium anywhere. Do you want me to tell you what my defense is? All right. We propose to show you that year in and year out on the Washington Place side on the 8th, 9th, and 10th floors, the key was all the time in the lock, and that it was never without the lock. I myself have seen and spoken to two girls who will testify before you that when the fire broke out, they went to the Washington Place door on the ninth floor and they opened the door without any difficulty. These girls will tell you that the key was always in the Washington Place door, in the lock, on the ninth floor. If by some horrible chance in the panic that followed the fire, some poor girl pulled the key from the door, certainly Mr. Harris and Mr. Blank did not know that this was so. And if this dreadful error was made without their knowledge, then they are guilty of nothing. I hope that was helpful.
Chief Croker, how long have you been chief of the New York City Fire Department?
12 years.
And during that time, how many fires has your department responded to at the Triangle Factory?
6. The fire on March 25th of this year was the 6th.
Please tell us what happened when you tried to enter the 9th floor of the Ash Building on that day.
We tried to enter through the Washington Place door, but we couldn't budget, so we chopped through it with axes.
Did you take the time to examine the lock to verify that the bolt was thrown?
No, sir. There were girls burning inside. But that door was either locked, or it was shut firmly enough that axes were the only way in.
And what did you see after you had chopped through the door?
In the drifting smoke, I saw bodies burned to bare bones, skeletons bending over sewing machines.
How many bodies did you find on the ninth floor?
There were 5 at machines. I found 2 in a little crevice behind the dressing room, One right directly in front of it.
Did you find any in front of the Washington Place door?
Yes, sir. I found 11 bodies there, piled on top of each other.
But you never looked at the lock?
No.
And was one of those bodies later identified as that of Margaret Schwartz?
It was.
So you can't say for certain that the door was locked or not?
No, sir.
Thank you, Chief Croker. I'd like to commend your gallantry during this crisis.
Miss Ethel Monick, when you came to work in the morning at the defendant's factory, what door did you use?
The Green Street door.
Did you ever go up the stairs of the Ash Building?
Only when I work on Sundays we have to go up the stairs.
And what stairs did you go up?
The Green Street stairs.
Out of habit, you always used the same door?
That was the door all the girls used. Nobody ever used the Washington Place door.
Did you ever ask Mr. Harris about the door?
I did not ask him. I used to be afraid of him.
And did you try to use that door during the fire on March 25th?
I did.
What happened?
I could not open it.
You were afraid of Mr. Harris?
Sure. Mr. Harris was the one we saw most of the time on the 9th floor. He used to come down sometimes and walk around 4 or 5 minutes.
Can you demonstrate for the court how you tried to open the door?
You mean here? Now?
Yes, please. Show the court how you tried to open the Washington Place door on the 9th floor.
You want me to stand up and show how I tried to open that door?
If you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. I grabbed the knob and I turned it and I pushed and I pulled and... And I tried...
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. That will be enough.
I'm sorry. I can't.
That will be enough, Miss Monick. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Did you ever see Mr. Blank?
No, not very often.
What do you mean by not very often?
What does it matter? I was scared.
You do like to argue some, don't you, little girl? You do not really mean to say that you were afraid of these two men, were you?
Not exactly afraid, but you know how they are. I was like nothing to them, because I was only a working girl. I know that when a girl don't do anything right, you know, she gets discharged. That is why I did not talk to them.
1,600 degrees of heat killed 146 ash fire
victims. Mrs. Belmont, after hearing session of court, says English justice
Waste
is
men
better.
Get court guards. Threats by mob as they went to luncheon had alarmed Harris and Blank.
Mr. Schwartz, please, sit down. We deeply regret your loss.
So do I.
If it's a job you're looking for, we'll find a place for you in the new factory.
No, that's not what I'm looking for.
Then what can we do for you?
When my sister burned up, her paycheck burnt up too. I am here to collect that money.
I see.
I'm afraid we can't help you. Our records were lost in the fire, so we have no way of knowing who was paid or wasn't.
But we can talk about a job with a wage that's more than fair.
I don't want a job. I want what you owe my sister.
Work would do you good. Keep your mind off things. Toughen you up.
What do you know about work?
Sit down. You know, I worked in a shop. So did Mr. Harris here. He was an apprentice to a tailor in Russia.
So what? I want
what... It was somebody's apartment, really, and there were 10 of us. Sewing piles of clothes by hand. Working by candlelight because there were no windows.
And at the end of the day, we had to fight the man for our pay.
This is where I met Mr. Harris. And we scraped together money because we wanted to make a better shop. Big, open, with the latest machines.
And everybody gets paid what they're owed.
So pay me.
We can't give you what we don't have.
With all the civil suits against us.
We can only give you a job.
Mr. Moore, what is your profession?
I examine the scenes of fires to determine causes and liability.
Mr. Hurwitz, what is your occupation?
Locksmith, sir.
And when did you visit the Ash Building?
On April 10 of this year.
And you have made a thorough examination of all the doors on the ninth floor of the Ash building?
I have.
Now, Mr. Moore, you found the lock to the Washington Place door on the ninth floor, did you not?
I did.
Where did you find it?
It was under some rubbish on the floor, about 11.5 feet from the doorway.
And is this the lock in question?
That's the lock.
People's Exhibit 30 is the lock from the Washington Place door on the ninth floor of the Ash building.
I object. On March 25th, a fire occurs. And on March 26th, all the conscience of the city is stirred by the terrible catastrophe that has occurred. Hundreds upon hundreds of people go into that debris and seek the bodies. And the fire department makes a conclusive and minute and detailed search into that debris. And the whole question that is being agitated in the press day after day is locks, locks, locks. And the door was locked. And pictures of the doors. Gentlemen of the jury. And nothing is found. When on the 10th of April, as from a clear sky, this man goes to the premises, and within 25 minutes, a lock is discovered on an alleged portion of door that somebody kicked in. And every one of these locks, may it please the gentlemen of the jury, in that building was identical from the 10th floor down to the basement.
Mr. Moore, what makes you certain that this is the lock from the Washington Place door on the 9th floor of the Ash building?
If you stood inside the Washington Place loft, the hinges of the door would have been on your right, and the handle to the door would have been on your left. This lock is for a left-handed door, the only left-handed door on the 9th floor.
Mr. Hurwitz, is this the lock from the Washington Place door on the 9th floor of the Ash building?
No, sir.
How can you tell?
Well, the piece of wood is 5/8 of an inch narrower than would have been if it had formed a piece of the door to which it was attached. It is also a fact that the face of the lock is a bit melted, and if this is true, as we see, then the same amount of heat would have melted the tumblers of the lock also.
Mr. Moore, what is the lock made of?
The face and case are made of brass, like any old doorknob, but the tumblers are made of cold-rolled steel.
Does cold-rolled steel react to fire differently than brass?
Brass melts at a much lower temperature.
Which means that it makes perfect sense that the face of this lock might be melted while the tumblers appeared untouched?
Yes, sir.
What else does the condition of this lock tell you?
That the door was closed during the fire. If it had been opened, the tumblers and spindle would have been exposed and may have melted.
Can you open the lock so we can see the tumblers?
No, I can't. Must be melted in there.
No matter. Was there anything else that suggested that this door was locked?
Yes. The tongue of the lock was extended when I found it.
I object. Is it really to be urged upon this court that because the tongue of this lock, I think you call it, was extended on the 10th day of April 1911, is that the slightest evidence that the lock had its tongue extended on the 25th day of March 1911? Is it even to be suggested in a civilized country where the jurisprudence is practiced as it is practiced here?
Regardless of the condition of the tongue, we have shown that this is the lock from the door in question.
Mr. Bostwick, will you allow me? Can you open this lock, Mr. Hurwitz?
Well, let me see. Here you go.
Thank you, sir. Now, Mr. Moore, if Mr. Hurwitz can remove the innards of your lock so easily, they could have been removed and replaced thousands of times between the fire of March 25th and the time you arrived on April 10th, don't you think so? Speaking as an expert, Mr. Moore?
Evidently, they could have been.
Now, you say this is a left-handed lock.
That's correct.
And now that Mr. Hurwitz has done you the service of opening it, could he convert it into a right-handed lock?
Yes, he could.
Then there isn't any such thing as a right-handed or a left-handed lock. There you are.
Do you work in a fire trap? Are the doors locked during working hours? Are the windows barred or nailed down? Are the freight elevators closed during the day? Are there fire escapes on all floors? Is the way to the fire escapes free? Is there any scrap left near motors or engines? Are staircases wood or iron? Write your answers to these questions, then send or bring them to the Women's Trade Union League, 43 East 22nd Street. Your name will not be used.
Miss Alterman, what was your relationship with Margaret Schwartz?
She was my best friend.
So when you heard the cry of fire, you were quite aware of her whereabouts?
I was.
Can you tell me what you saw of the last moments of Margaret Schwartz's life?
I was by the Washington Place door, and Bernstein, the manager's brother, was trying to open the door. He was jumping around like a wildcat. Margaret tried to open that door. I pushed her on the side, and I said, "Wait, I will open that door." I tried, pulled the handle in and out always, and I couldn't open it. And then I saw her bending down on her knees. I noticed the trail of her dress and the ends of her hair began to burn. And then a big smoke came, and I said, "Margaret." And she didn't reply.
Thank you very much, Miss Alterman.
Did you have a sister working in the place?
No, sir.
And are you currently living in Philadelphia?
Yes, sir.
When was the last time you saw Mr. Bostwick?
Saturday.
He took you up to the building, did he?
Yes, sir.
And he pointed out to you where the Washington Place door is?
I had to point it out to him. He showed me the plan and asked me to show him where I saw Margaret last. I couldn't show him very well on the plan, for I had picked it in my mind as it was before the fire. And so he took me to the building.
You have told us that she was right up against the door, isn't that so?
She was right near the door with her hands at the knob.
With her hands at the knob?
At the knob.
But you couldn't tell him that before you went up to the loft?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe I told him. I think I told him. I'm not sure, though, for when I gave my statement. First, I was sick that time.
And so you didn't tell it the same way as you are telling it now?
I'm telling it the same way, just the same way.
Did you tell then that she had her hand on the knob?
I don't remember exactly whether I told the knob or not. It was 9 months ago.
Did you ever have a sister that visited you at the place?
I never did.
Have you got a sister at all?
I have a sister, yes, sir.
How many?
I have 5 sisters.
Does one of your sisters live in New York?
No, sir, they never did.
Now, I want you to tell me your story over again, just as you told it before.
What kind of story do you mean?
Just tell us what you did when you heard the cry of fire.
I went to the Green Street windows to look for fire escapes. I didn't find any, and Margaret Schwartz was with me. I turned away, and Margaret disappeared from me. I went to the dressing rooms, bent my face over the sink. I went out from the dressing rooms and then went to the Washington side to the door, trying to open the door. But there I saw Bernstein, the manager's brother, trying to open the door, but he couldn't. He went to the windows.
Now, there was something in there that you left out, I think, Miss Alterman. When Bernstein was jumping around, do you remember what that was like? Like a wildcat, wasn't it?
Like a wildcat.
You did leave that out, didn't you, just now when you told us about Bernstein, that he jumped around like a wildcat?
A wildcat or wild dog? I told it that way to imagine just exactly.
Now, you heard the signal or bell for the shutting off the power, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Then you got up and you left your table, is that it?
Yes, sir.
And was it at that time that you went to the dressing room?
Yes, sir.
That was the only time you went to the dressing room, was it?
Yes, sir.
And of course, I'm speaking of that afternoon. I meant that afternoon.
Of that day, yes, sir.
Now, could you tell us again what you did after that time?
After going from the dressing room?
Yes.
I noticed Bernstein, the manager's brother, at the Washington side windows. He stuck his head out and then he drew himself back. He wanted to jump, I suppose, but he was afraid. He jumped like a wildcat on the walls. And then I saw the flames cover him. I went to the center of the room. I had a purse with me, and that purse began to burn. I pressed it to my heart to put out the fire. The whole door was aflame. It was a red curtain of fire.
You never spoke to anyone about what you were going to tell us when you came here, did you?
No, sir.
You have got a father and a mother and four sisters?
Five sisters. I have a father, I have no mother, I have stepmother.
And you never spoke to anybody else about it?
No, sir.
They never asked you about it?
They asked me and I told them once and then they stopped me. They didn't want me to talk anymore about it.
And you didn't study the words in which you would tell it?
No, sir.
Now, tell us from there what you did, starting from when your purse was burning.
I pressed it to my heart to put out the fire. I took my coat, I turned it with the fur to my face and the lining on the outside, got hold of a bunch of dresses from the examining table, covered up my head, and I wanted to run through the Green Street door, which was in flames. It was a red curtain of fire.
A red curtain of fire?
That's right.
You never studied those words, did you?
No, sir.
Did you receive on the 12th of October, 1911, a letter inviting you to a meeting at 151 Clinton Street on the third floor to meet the lawyer for the Ladies' Waist and Dressmakers Union?
No, sir.
Didn't you go on the 16th of October, 1911, to 151 Clinton Street, and didn't the lawyer go over the story of the fire with each one of you girls?
No.
Now, Miss Alterman, each time that you have answered Mr. Stoyer's question, you have tried to repeat it in the same language that you first told it here in court, have you not?
Yes, sir.
And you remember every detail of that story as well today as if it had happened yesterday?
Yes, sir.
And it is all true?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell that story in any other words than those you have told it in?
In any other words? I remember it this way, just exactly how it was done.
Will you please answer my question? Could you tell it in any other words than the words you have told it in here?
Probably I can.
As a matter of fact, you did on Saturday, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And as a matter of fact, you did, in that statement, use different words than you have stated now?
Yes, sir.
And you could repeat over whatever you told me on Saturday in those other words.
Yes, sir.
Will you state to the jury why you tried to repeat what you told Mr. Stoyer in the same language that you used the first time you told it?
Because he asked me to tell the very same story over and over.
And did you think you had to tell it in the same words?
No, I didn't think. I just told it the way he asked me to say it, over and over, and I told him in the same words.
I have not spoken to you since you arrived here, have I?
No, sir, not a word.
You say you can tell the jury the same words you used in your written statement?
Probably I can. My written statement was 9 months ago.
I offer the statement to the jury.
Tell us the words in the statement, please, now.
Shall I tell you just as in the statement?
Yes, the words in the statement.
Well, I gave a very long statement.
Now start with the words in the statement, please, and not an explanation, Miss Alterman, if you can. Just tell us how you started the statement, then give us the words that are in the statement.
Well, it would be 4:45 on Saturday. I think that I started the beginning of the statement.
Please just tell the court what you said.
I can't remember what I said.
Mr. Bostwick asked you before whether you could tell it again in the same words as the statement, and you said yes. Now you say you can't.
I already told you what happened. There is only one way it happened.
You can only tell the story the way you practiced it.
I can only tell it how I remember it.
Nothing more.
Prosecution rests in triangle case.
155 witnesses condemn Harris and
Blank. Fact also brought out that owner Harris's sister was trapped by barge door.
Triangle women were locked in.
End of episode 2. You've been listening to the Triangle Factory Fire Project by Christopher Peeler and Scott Allen Evans, presented by Hear Play Audio Theatre. HearPlay offers its work free of charge, but if you can make a donation of any amount, we'd be most grateful. All proceeds go to pay our talented company of artists for their time and artistry. To learn more about our work and to join us with a contribution, please visit our website, www.hearplayaudiotheatre.com. The Triangle Factory Fire Project's cast includes Jeremy Beck, Nora Chester, Francesca DiMauro, Jeffrey C. Hawkins, Jack Koenig, Mayrin Lee, Alan Locus, Victoria Mack, John Plumpus, and Tony Roach. The original music is by Colin McGrath. This audio theater production has been produced and engineered by Daryl Bornstein, who also created the sound design. It was produced, directed, and adapted by Scott Allen Evans. Thank you for listening and your support. I'm Simon Jones.